Hello, and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. At Thanksgiving dinner, my aunt asked me a question that caught me totally off guard.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear this because I can't imagine much of anything catching you off guard, Carmen.
Right? So we're sitting on the side of the table that faces my bookshelves, and she said to me, "Do you know what all of those books are?"
Well, I mean, that's kind of a weird question because it is your bookshelf. Like, someone else is going to come in there and put books on them? I don't know. Okay.
I just looked at her because, honestly, I didn't understand the question. A lot of people ask me if I've read all of the books that are on my bookshelves or want to know how I decided to arrange them, but no one has ever asked me whether or not I know what all of the books are.
Was she asking if you bought all of the books yourself?
I don't know. And I told her as much. I told her that if she was asking if I knew what all the books were about or if I was familiar with each author, then yes. But the more I think about it, the more I think she meant to ask if all of the books on my shelves were placed there intentionally. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I think that's a great question. With the number of books that you have on your shelves, I think that's kind of an insightful observation. Do you know how and why each book is there?
Yes, yes. And in the process of thinking this through, I made quite a unique discovery.
In this episode, Carmen and I are going to talk about books on our shelves that we have no intention of reading and why. I'm drinking a Winter Cosmo, baby. Ooh. It is so good. 3 ounces. I'm doing a 3-2-1 drink all through the holidays. I don't know if you've noticed this, but 3 ounces vodka, 2 ounces pomegranate juice, you know, the good stuff, no sugar, just the juice. 1 ounce simple syrup, and I'm using that brown sugar rosemary simple syrup that I made.
Oh, yes.
And fresh lemon and fresh lime. Oh, so good.
Oh, so are you juicing half of each, the lemon and the lime?
Yes, yes.
So, 3-2-1, I've never heard...
You've never heard of drink? Oh, girl.
No.
I'm going to turn you on to all my drinks. You're going to love them.
Are they all 3-2-1?
So far, I've been doing 3-2-1 drinks this Thanksgiving.
Do you look them up using that?
No, it just happens. You just got to have like 3 to 4 ingredients. And I try and keep, you know, the ones on that I have on. But it's that cheese gal. She has brought me all of these simple, really good cocktails.
Okay, stay fresh, cheese bags.
Stay fresh.
Well, a woman at work, Christy, has introduced me to Wheatley vodka. And my father and I did a taste test once with vodkas. We did Tito's, we did Grey Goose, and we did... Kettle One.
And yeah.
And so Tito's was the one that we determined was a mixer. Grey Goose was one that we could drink
straight.
Yeah, straight, but maybe with a tiny bit of dilution. So put some ice cubes in and stir and then strain.
Right.
And then the Wheatleys, girl, you can just turn that bottle up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so, but it's so good. So I'm drinking a vodka tonic with a splash of fresh squeezed lemon.
I'm so proud of you. If I do anything with this podcast, I want people to use real limes and real lemons.
Okay.
I mean, It's very simple, right?
Well, we're going to take it to the point that you're going to be juicing your own pomegranates and you're going to be juicing your own cranberries.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, a lemon, I've got a squeezer. It's so quick.
Well, there's a guy at work who makes his own kombucha.
Oh, don't get me started on
that. That's next level shit.
That's a hot mess with that thing in the, you know, yes. They have like a mush thing.
Yeah. Okay, what are you reading?
So, John and I just both finished listening to Artemis by Andy Weir. You know, one of my
favorite
just
talked
authors.
About him last episode.
I know. So we audibled the book on our way to Asheville, North Carolina, and finished it on the way home. So it's about a young woman named Jazz Bashira who lives on the moon. And that's the name of the settlement on the moon is Artemis. Okay. And she was born and raised on the moon with her dad, who works as a welder and has his own shop. Her mom went back to Earth. So you can't go back to, if you've been born there and you've raised there and you've lived there, you can't go back because of gravity. I don't know. Something about bones. Science. But what's funny is she is this natural born criminal. Nice. She's kind of a wisecrack. And there's something really shady going on in Artemis. And she is the one person who is going to save the city and hopefully stay alive. So it's funny and witty with lots of science. So John had to explain some stuff to me and a lot of suspense. So it was good. I was glad though I had John with me.
What did you give it?
I'm probably going to give it like 4.2.
Oh, out of 5?
Yeah.
That's good, Rachel.
Yeah. And I think it was because maybe we were in the car. I was with John, and he was explaining stuff. And it was wisecrack. I liked the whole humor kind of sassy girl. So yeah, I liked it.
And you know, reading the person who is reading it makes all the difference in the world.
She did a really good job. She was. She sounded like. So Jazz Bashira is her dad. They're Muslim.
Okay.
And the narrator sounded like she was Latino.
Okay.
So
I'm not sure what point you're making, and but I'm trying not to get offended on behalf of all Latino Muslims.
No, I'm just saying, like you said, the narrator, the reader has a lot to do with it.
Uh-huh.
So you felt like she was telling her story. It was kind of in first person.
The book that I'm listening to right now, which is separate from the book that I'm reading, which I guess I'm going to end up telling you about both.
Tell about both.
Gay turned me on to the Pendergast series by Preston and Childs. And
yes.
I'm on the fourth one called Still Life with Crows. And this is the first one that I've listened to. I've read the other three. And the person reading this is absolutely 100% horrible. And the reason that is because Pendergast is supposed to have a very unique New Orleans accent. And he's in the Midwest. He's in Kansas. And so the people... The reader can't lose his Southern accent, his very fake Southern accent, to talk Midwestern, and he drops his R's, and I don't know, it's just really, distracting.
Who is that actor from New Orleans that is, like, hot as firecracker?
I don't know.
What's his name? Nate, he stars, and he sings, and he's an actor. Oh my gosh, everyone... Who is listening to this is yelling at me. So I was going to say, he doesn't sound like that then, if it's fake.
No. He doesn't sound like anything. But anyway, the one I'm reading right now is, it is a Lent trilogy. So Jill at Work lent me her copies. And it's a trilogy by Shirley Garrett. And the first one is called Hot Flash Divas, which is hilarious because I am a freaking hot flash diva.
Yes, you You sweat like brushing your teeth, girl.
Yeah, I do. And she must be a local author because the story takes place in Huntsville and Decatur.
I think I saw this book at Harrison Brothers.
Really?
I think you might be right. She might be a local artist.
Okay, so Harrison Brothers is the oldest still running hardware store in Alabama.
She is. She's from Huntsville.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Shirley Garrett. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good so far.
So, Harry Connick Jr. is the actor-singer. So, he doesn't sound like that.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Well, that's a winning combination. Like, you got recommended vodka, you got books, you got coworkers. I mean, this sounds like a fun place to work, girl.
Yeah, it's government contracting for the best. I have been very lucky when it comes to coworkers. The good ones really heartily outweigh the asses, of which there are also a few. And I'm sure they don't listen to my podcast.
I was going to say, what side of the fence do they think you land on?
Both, I'm sure. Yes. By the way, if you add a book mm-hmm. on Goodreads and mark it with any of your custom tags, it automatically adds it to your want to read.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. If you add a book to your shelf, Goodreads assumes that you at least want to read it, right?
Well, then I would heartily suggest they listen to this episode.
Touché.
Now, as I said before, my Aunt Margaret got me thinking about the books on my shelves. And I realized that I have a few that I have purchased specifically to own, but never intend to read.
I think that's interesting because that is so true for cookbooks, my cookbooks back here. And mm-hmm. maybe if you got like a signed cookbook or a signed book or cookbook, I have a signed cookbook that you wanted to keep in pristine condition. But are you talking about like run-of-the-mill books that you wanted to have but haven't read? Or, I mean, that's a little bit funny to me. I mean, are we talking about duplicates? Or are we talking about like first edition? I want the first edition, or I want a book published on a certain year. I don't know if we've ever talked about having like several different editions of the same book. But I do. But I don't know.
Well, I think this is a totally other category. So,
okay.
Like we've talked before, I have 3 or 4 copies of The Master and Margarita,
uh-huh.
But I did read that one. And the reason I have multiple copies is because they're all unique and a couple are collectible. I mean, do you not have any books on your shelves that you wanted, but you know you're never going to read?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this as we're going through it and fully understand where you're coming from as we talk about this, Carmen.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Before we start talking titles, tell me some reasons you would buy a book that's like not a duplicate, knowing you're not going to read it.
Okay. That is a great question. That's a great question.
Okay.
One reason is because it is mentioned in another book that I am reading.
Oh.
An example of this is The Queen Must Die and Other Affairs of Bees and Men by William Longgood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Sue Monk Kidd's The Secret Life of Bees, there is a quote at the beginning of each chapter, and a number of these quotes are from this Longgood book.
Oh, and I know you're a sucker for a clever title, and that title is a good one.
Yes. I actually started reading it, and it is really well written for nonfiction. I usually find them very dry, and it's one that I could read, mm-hmm. but I never finished it and probably never will. So it belongs on this list. So now that I've given you an example, What do you think?
Okay. So you got to remember that I have a husband, John, whose book preferences are not the same as mine. Plus, I have a son and daughter who have left books on their bookshelves here, and they've moved on. So I have lots of books I probably won't read that are on my shelves, things from them. But I do have Emma's Harry Potter book series. Plus, I have a pretty, I have one with the pretty covers on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read those. And then I just recently got the Fourth Wing Special Holiday Edition book. But again, I've read them. So,
Okay, I'm pretty sure those are not going to count, but we'll figure it out as we go.
Okay.
I realized that as I was writing this, there may be a little bit of a weird thing to collect a title for the sake of just collecting it. But then I thought, surely I cannot be the only one. When we come back, I will tell you what my next book is that I own and do not intend to ever read.
Okay, so I'm reminded of that Japanese word. It's spelled differently than it sounds. So it's sundoku, which means buying.
It's sundoku. It's sundoku.
The emphasis
is on sun.
Which means buying more books than you can ever read. But I think this is different.
Yes, you're correct. But it is along the same lines. You know, parallel roads go to different places.
Oh, look at you, girl, waxing poetic. All right, give us your next title.
Okay, the next title that I was compelled to purchase with little to no interest in reading is called 7.5 Cents by Richard Bissell. Goodreads calls it, and I'm going to quote here because it's hilarious, quote, a gay, impudent, amorous novel, end quote. I don't know how you can't love that. So it's about a strike at a company that makes pajamas.
Okay, girl, what on earth caused you to buy this one?
It's the book that the musical The Pajama Game with Doris Day is based on.
I love Doris Day.
I do too. And another little tidbit is that the movie marked the choreography debut of none other than Bob Fosse.
And you love that musical so much you had to have the book.
Okay, no.
Okay.
So to say that I loved the musical is a bit of a stretch. There are a lot of other Doris Day movies that I prefer, but I really loved that it was the impetus of Tony Award-winning Broadway musical, that it served as the launching pad for Bob Fosse, and to top everything off, it starred John Raitt, father of singer Bonnie Raitt. And there's just a lot riding on these 245 pages.
Yeah, and that's not a lot. That's not a big book, you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did some searching on my bookshelves, and I do have a Christmas book that I've not read, but I bought it because it's beautiful. And I probably won't ever read it, but it is A Winter Dream by Richard Paul Evans. And it's this gorgeous gold with this beautiful lighted Christmas tree in the dark right in the middle. The pages are that really thick craft paper with the raw edges on the right. It's just, it's a gorgeous book. And I put it out. It's out for Christmas, but I haven't read.
Oh, you display it at Christmas?
Yeah.
So yeah. I love that. So you use it as part of your decor?
Well, yeah, it just goes on the edge of the book. See, here it is. I'll show you. There it is.
So has anyone ever seen it displayed and they say, "Ooh, I'd like to read that"?
They haven't said anything to me. They may have picked it up and looked at it. I mean, look at these chapters. The chapters are gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they've looked at it. I'm not sure. But they haven't said anything to me. But it's really interesting is that this guy, Richard Paul Evans, he's written that real famous the Christmas Bach trilogy. Oh. And he's also written other books and other series. And another Christmas one is called the Noel Collection.
Oh, wow.
So.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a Christmas book.
That you don't intend to read.
I don't intend to read it. It's just too pretty.
Okay. Well, my next one is a fairly herky book. That's my mom's word. That I bought, and I never intend to read it. It is the 750-page The Art of Eating by M.F.K. Fisher.
Okay. I remember this one.
Plus, yes, you do.
I have other words for his initials. Anyway, go ahead. No, but yeah, it's a big one. But yeah.
Yes. This was recommended by our very own favorite author, Linda Olson, during our interview with her. And she had such lovely things to say about the book and the fact that it is not really a cookbook, but it's more of a journey through food and eating and entertainment and enjoyment. I had to have it. And it is still where I put it. When I opened it from the package, it's right on my shelf.
And you're not even going to open it or try any of the recipes.
Well, you know, I may do that at some point, but I'm probably not going to treat it like Linda Olson did. And that was to sit with it and consume parts of it, like a time that you were slicing a piece of lemon meringue pie.
Mm. Now I'm getting hungry. I'm going to tap down this appetite with a drink refill, and we will be right back. Okay, so like I said, I have a husband who I love dearly, but we do not have the exact same taste in book. He is more science and fantasy and theological and science fiction reader. And one of the books that he has on the shelf is this beautiful book called Explain the World of Discovery of Modern Science by Steven Weinberg. It's this gorgeous book. I'll show you because you'll see it. And it's got this beautifully hand-sketched eye, and it's in the center of this like horoscope sky. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like very beautiful, and it's just so nice, and it looks pretty. But it's not anything I'm going to read. It's fascinating to my husband. He's got all these places marked and highlighted, but I will not be reading that because it's on my shelf, but I'm not going to read it. It's pretty though.
Okay, but I think that we're talking about books that you have purchased with no intention of reading, as opposed to something that's on a shared bookshelf that may be populated by others. So while it is on your corporate shelf, that book is his. So it kind of reminds me of the episode, Why the Fuck Is That on My Shelf?
Yes.
And some of the books that you talked about were John's. Okay, so we need to have the understanding for the rest of the episode that we're talking about Rachel only.
Okay. Then I might have to write an episode specifically on why on the earth is my husband reading that for the future. We may have to pull John in on that one.
Okay. Well, I would be able to offer comments from the peanut gallery, but I'll have to sit that one out when it comes to firsthand experience of having a husband. Thank God.
Okay. Back on track. If I can't use that Weinberg book, my next one is actually called Three Blind Mice, How Today's Financial Planning Processes Lead Your Money to a Mousetrap by Scott S. McLean. And yes, this was given to me by a friend who, surprise, surprise, is a financial advisor. So I have it sitting on my bookshelf because it's kind of pretty. It's kind of interesting looking, you know, and it's got a cool title. But I really don't have any intention on reading it. It is a first edition, published in 2020. So I'm going to keep it, but I just have no intention of reading it. None whatsoever.
Well, I think I think that you should have asked your financial advisor who gave it to you for the cash equivalent.
Can I have the $32.99 instead, please? That'd buy me a couple of coffees.
Well, I'm glad you're laughing because the next one is going to make you upset.
No, so but we were doing so well.
I've saved it for the end.
So well, Carmen.
Okay, it's the entire Harry Potter series.
No.
You know that I stopped reading in the middle of the fourth book, and I have not felt compelled in the least to pick them back up. However, I do want to own the entire series, maybe just in case I get a wild hair and decide to finish them.
Carmen, you know, I'm aghast. Okay, how long has it been since you put down number four?
It's been probably 10 years.
Oh my gosh. I can assure you that Margot Robbie and I are distressed that you have no intention at all of finishing the series. You're just not going to do it. You're going to watch the movies and just be happy, happy.
I can't believe that you're going to bring Barbie into this.
She loves Harry Potter.
She does. She does. Well, to make it even better, I just ordered Harry Potter and the Cursed Child from Thrift Books to add to my collection.
Okay, just in case.
Yes, just in case. But, you know, the majority of mine are also hardcover first editions.
Whatever. Let me just tell you, people hate you right now. Maybe not me. I'm not talking about me. I love you. I can't believe you at this point.
Oh,
but
my
whatever.
Goodness. Oh, do you want to talk about another book or wrap it up?
Well, I can talk about one more book.
Okay.
Well, I did buy it. Okay. It's the Inferno book by Dan Brown.
Oh, why did you buy that?
I thought it would be better.
Really?
I thought...
Isn't that the third one?
No, is it? Well, I got it at the, you see where I got it, right? At the airport.
Oh.
I did start it, but I didn't finish it.
Did they not have?
I'm not going to talk about it. Okay. I hate it so much. I don't even want to talk about it.
Please keep all this in.
We're just going to leave it. I want to leave that in there too. So.
Oh my God, and the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
Carmen and I have really enjoyed reading all your comments on how you're doing on your yearly reading challenges.
And it came as a surprise to no one that our friend Gay turned out to be a huge overachiever when it came to surpassing her reading goal.
Karen and Susie also read more than their goals. Woo! And there's still time, people. And I know you and I both are getting close, as well as Laura. So there's still plenty of time, girls and guys.
Yes.
Get out there and read, read, read.
And it's almost time to think about our reading goal for 2024, as well as whether or not we're going to take part in individual challenges.
I'm still impressed by people who finished the Pop Sugar Challenge, like, in the summer or spring months. I mean, like,
yeah,
what? These are, like, super readers and superstars. Mm-hmm. They have to read.
Well, I can almost guarantee you that they're not binging any of the streaming shows that I'm watching.
Let us know what books you have on your shelf that you have no intention of reading, and give us some titles and why you bought them.
And let us know if you've read any of the titles that we talked about today.
Check us out on all our social media and keep connecting with us. I also noticed that you scheduled some Facebook posts in our group for the entire month of December. So I'm looking forward to what you have in store for us, Carmen.
Thank you. If you haven't joined our private Facebook group, search on Bubbly Bibbly in the group section and ask to join.
And remember, keep buying those books. Whether or not you're going to read them, it doesn't matter. You are keeping your shelves cozy and full and supporting the economy.